20th, 2011. The time is 6:24 a.m. Present is Dina Brown, Rick Pahavich, and Sergeant Andrew Mitchell, represented by attorney
Steve Lazarus.
Officer Mitchell, you have signed the advisory rights and do understand them?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you recall an incident that occurred on April the 18th, approximately 3:15 a.m.?
Yes, ma'am.
And can you tell me your role that day?
Yes, ma'am. There was a call for service dispatched over the radio for a cutting that occurred in the 4,000 block of Virginia Avenue. Two uniformed officers were dispatched, as well as myself, because I'm a supervisor. I responded to, I left District 5, got in my van, and started responding to the scene. I traveled through Northside, westbound on Chase Avenue, then north on Virginia. When I traveled north on Virginia, I noticed two people walking southbound on Virginia, a male white with a black leather coat and a female white thin with dark clothing. They're walking a dog.
Okay.
Let me back up. The description in the run came in for a cutting. Man called, said he was cut, refused medical attention, that he was cut by a male and a female. I took note of these two people. I wanted to verify that there was an offense before I continued or before I stopped anybody. So I responded to the scene on Virginia Avenue to the apartment, I believe was number 5. It was a basement apartment on the north side of the building. When I walked around to the north side of the building and saw the apartment door, there was blood on the concrete, on the floor. Right then it led me to believe that we had a good cutting offense.
This was outside of the apartment?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I called down, Cincinnati Police. We're here. A man responded to the doorway. Identified him as Jason Weller. I asked him if he was okay. He had a large cut on his, I believe it was his right hand. He said, I asked him, what happened? He said, they robbed me. He had a motorcycle type wallet, a wallet with a chain attached to it.
Okay.
He held up the chain. There was no wallet at the end. He said they cut my wallet off. They cut me. They left. At that point, it escalated to an aggravated robbery offense. Because it was, given the description on the radio was rather vague, I asked him some specific questions. Was the guy, white guy, short haircut, was he wearing a leather jacket? Yes. Okay. Female, thin, dark clothing? Yes. Were they walking a dog? Yeah, big dog. Okay. So now I have very good suspect description, and it's going to be the two people that I had seen walking southbound on Virginia from the scene. Another officer had arrived on scene, Officer Todd Pearson. I advised Officer Pearson to stay with the victim, get a medical treatment, get all of his information for an offense report, and walk back to my van to circle back and locate the two suspects that I had seen.
Who was the other officer on the scene?
Todd Pearson. When I left Virginia, Officer Pearson was the only other person on scene on Virginia. I came over the radio with a very detailed description of the two individuals I had seen. The male white, black leather jacket, short haircut, female white, all dark clothing, they're walking a dog. And advised that it was a good offense, and the subjects may be armed with a knife. I put out their last location where I had seen them, and got in the van and circled back. as I was responding, or as I was traveling southbound on Virginia, a radio transmission came out. One of my officers said that they had two subjects stop at an address on Chase Street. I pulled up onto Chase Street, got out of the van, walked up the street, saw two officers standing in the area between a street and the retaining wall. There's a grassy area and a sidewalk. I'm not sure exactly if they were standing on the sidewalk or on the grass. But they did have the two people that I had observed stopped, and they were sitting down on the sidewalk.
I'm going to have you draw this out. We have like a little picture thing. And it's
nowhere near to being accurate.
Okay.
And the reason, we're just trying to get them right. I'm sure showing the pictures. This is the sidewalk, which obviously the sidewalk's nowhere near that size. And the tree may be closer. This is not in nowhere near the it's not accurate. It's just kind of going to say, I know where everybody's at.
And this picture here, is this 1833 Chase Street?
Yes.
Okay.
And if we did show where you pulled up.
Okay. There were police cruisers in the street. They're also parked cars. You want me to put parked cars?
If you remember.
And this whole area here is parked cars. I'm not sure exactly where they were spaced. Mm-hmm. There were police cruisers. Here, I believe. And then I pulled up in the... In the van.
Okay.
Got out of the van, walked up. This is kind of a grassy area here. The female white was sitting here. She had a dog that she had her arm around. The dog held real tight to her.
Okay.
She was sitting here against the tree. There was a male white subject sitting on the ground with his legs facing that way.
Towards Virginia.
Correct. And then, I'm not sure if Officer Neller was standing in the grass and the sidewalk, or just in the grass, or just on the sidewalk, but he was in this area here. Officer Johnson was here. They had the subjects were sitting down. They appeared to be compliant. I circled around the tree and took a cover position here.
Put their initials in there, something that's Neller and Ms. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Jay. Yeah.
That's me.
Were they saying anything when you walked up? Or were they talking?
As I'm walking up, one of the officers is asking, where are you coming from? And I heard the girl yell out, "We didn't do anything wrong." And the officer asked again, "That doesn't answer my question. Where are you coming from?" And again, she replied, "We didn't do anything wrong." So they're kind of evasive questions, or evasive answers. And this is as I'm walking up to take a good cover position. A handful of seconds go by. I'd say it was certainly less than a minute that I was on scene. Male white, I'm sorry. The male white subject stands up. I didn't hear anybody order him to stand up. But regardless, he stands up, and then Officer Johnson and Officer Neller both say, "Keep your hands out of your pockets." Yeah, and they're yelling at the guy to keep his hands out of his pockets. He takes his right arm, sticks it in his right front pants pocket, and from the position I'm at, I can see the side of his pocket. They tell him, "Don't move." He pulls out, or he's got his right hand in his right front pants pocket. He comes out with a huge knife, and there was no mistaking it. It was a knife. I saw the thin, you know, shiny blade. He raised it up over his head and came down with it in a very aggressive manner as he took a step towards Officer Johnson. When the knife came out, everybody moved. I had taken a good position, cover position when I had gotten there. It's just something that I do, on every run. Every time I go on a scene is I try to find a good cover position so I have a good backdrop, clear line of fire. If for any reason there has to be shots fired, if there's a tasing, it's just my standard practice to get good cover position. When he pulled out the knife, everybody moved, and Officer Johnson actually stepped into my line of fire. At that point, I had taken a step towards the center of the sidewalk, towards the male white suspect, so I could get a clear line of fire on him. He had raised his hand up over his head, took a step at Officer Johnson. I stepped in and fired two shots. My placement of the shots was as far to my right of the target that I could possibly shoot at and hit, because I wanted to keep my line of fire as far away from Officer Johnson as I could while keeping a good backdrop. And Officer Neller, had moved as well, so I had to place my shots on target where I had two officers in my field of vision, but not in my line of fire.
When was your weapon on you? When did you draw your weapon?
I drew my weapon as he was pulling the knife out of his pocket. I would have fired when the knife was raised up over his head, except Officer Johnson had stepped into my field of fire, so I couldn't discharge my firearm with the suspect directly in between myself and Officer Johnson, and that's why I took the step in towards the suspect to remove Officer Johnson from my field of fire.
How far away would you say you were from Mr. Herbert?
Initially, probably about 8 feet. When I shot him, it was maybe 6 feet, 5 feet, because I'd taken that step into him.
And when he raised his arm above his head, is that when you fired your shots?
No, ma'am. He had come down in a swiping motion. He took a step towards Officer Johnson. I thought he cut him. I thought he stabbed Officer Johnson. And luckily he didn't. So he had already taken the step and swiped the knife at Officer Johnson, and that's when I fired.
Did you say anything to him before you fired your weapon?
No, ma'am.
You said that he took a swipe at Officer Johnson. Did he go from left to right, right to left, up and down?
He raised it up over his right arm, or he had his right arm, he raised it up and came down in a slashing motion.
Is he still facing Officer Johnson?
When everybody moved, Officer Johnson moved to here. Mm-hmm. I moved to here. Mr. Hebert took a step towards Officer Johnson and slashed with the knife. So he was rotating from, I guess, counterclockwise when he came down with the knife, and when I stepped into him, that's when I fired.
You fired, discharged how many times, sir?
Twice.
And after you discharged, what occurred next?
Mr. Hebert immediately went down. He fell down onto his back with his head facing the street. I circled around. Do you want me to keep drawing on this, or I had circled around, clockwise relative to Mr. Hebert, and was at his feet, keeping him covered with my firearm, and also so I could have a good field of view on the female suspect to make sure that she wasn't a threat.
What was she doing?
She was sitting there holding the dog.
Has she moved? Has she said anything?
No, I don't recall if she said anything or not, but she didn't move until she was ordered to move. So I had rotated around clockwise at Mr. Hebert's feet to keep he and the female in my line of sight. At that point, I first realized that Officer Stavali was on scene. He was in this area here. I ordered him to put on gloves, check Mr. Hebert for weapons, to make sure that he was no longer a threat to us. And so he did that, and then once it was determined that he was not a threat, it was...
At any time, Sergeant Mitchell, did we discuss the case during the flipping of the tape?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
I had ordered another officer, and I can't tell you who it was. I don't recall to secure the female in handcuffs and put her in a police car, remove her from the scene. I actually retrieved the dog from her, walked up to another house over here where there was another set of steps going up and a handrail. I tied the dog's leash to the handrail, I'll back up a second. When I had rotated around and was by Mr. Hebert's feet and covering him and the female, I came over the radio, advised that we had shots fired, send fire, and calling for all the other officers to respond to the scene of our incident. So I'm moving back forward. I tied the dog to the handrail, circled back around to just make sure that we had preserved all the evidence, make sure that there wasn't any contamination in the scene. By that time, Lieutenant Milik had arrived on scene, took control of the scene, and I was moved to the very edge of the perimeter of the scene that was established, where I was placed with a control supervisor.
That's okay. You don't have to go any further. Okay. That's really, that's based upon the business that I was at that point. When, at any point in time, did you hear Herbert or the female make any statements at all besides the two that you said that you made?
I did not know, when I had arrived on scene, they were in a seated position. The other officers had engaged them in conversation. I took up a cover position. It was Officer Johnson had already established the contact officer role, so I took a cover position.
Did you hear Herbert say anything at all?
No, I didn't.
When he got up, and after you fired, discharged the weapon, did you observe the knife at that point?
No, I did not.
So, as far as after the shooting and occurred, you had no idea where the knife was?
I did not know.
When you first approached, how close was Officer Johnson and Nella to Mr. Hebert?
Mr. Hebert was sitting on the ground with his legs stretched out, facing Virginia. They were, it appeared that they were about 3 or 4 feet away from his feet.
Did he have anything in his hands? Or?
No, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Not that I saw.
And what would you say your lighting was like?
It's a dark street. I believe there are street lights, but they're not. If there are streetlights, they certainly are bright. The lighting is basically our flashlights.
You said Officer Johnson, when the knife came out, Johnson took a step towards him?
Officer Johnson moved from the center of the sidewalk kind of towards the retaining wall. I don't know if he moved forward or backwards. I know that he, as far as his movement is concerned, the only thing that I'm for sure is that he moved into my line of fire.
And then when Mr. Herbert swiped the knife, it was your belief at the time that he did make contact with Officer Johnson?
I wasn't sure. From my viewpoint, my focus, as soon as he pulled that knife out, and it was, that was my main focus. When Officer Johnson moved into my, as he pulled the knife out, Officer Johnson moved into my field of fire. I think I'm getting off track of what your question actually was. I'm sorry.
That's right. Earlier you said that when you swung the knife, you believed that you were surprised that he didn't kind of afterwards.
I did, and that was one of my questions when I had rotated around. Are you okay? Are you cut? Are you all right? And that was I remember asking Johnson that. It looked like he cut him.
Okay. And in your opinion, at the time that you discharged your weapon, if you did not discharge your weapon, what would you believe would have occurred or possibly occurred next?
If he hadn't already done it, he was going to at least cut, if not kill, Officer Johnson.
Right. When you discharged your weapon, could you see where the bullets landed, or was Mr. Herbert turned clockwise facing you?
As I discharged my firearm, he was still rotating around. And he was still moving. He was still in the. It appeared to be he was still in the action of cutting Officer Johnson.
When you say rotating around, rotating toward you? Was his body turning toward you?
When I stepped into him, his upper body was turning towards me. He, if you can picture, thrusting a knife at somebody, with a slashing motion, your body coils and uncoils, and. It was after he had slashed at Officer Johnson, so his body was, his upper torso was turning counterclockwise towards me, but I don't believe that he was, and I don't believe that he was turning to me. I think that answers your question.
Was he making, did he make any further movement after he was shot?
No, ma'am, he just fell, went down to the ground.
He immediately just fell backwards?
Yes, ma'am.
Is there anything else you'd like to add or anything else that we didn't mention?
No, ma'am.
All right.